Ready for the word this morning? Let's say our favorite verse together, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? We have seen so many things happen with that scripture. We've seen children returned home. We've seen people literally healed of cancer. We have seen other miracles happen through that word of people standing in faith, believing and confessing things that have happened, or that believing and confessing things that God has given to them. This is part of our fragrance. This is what we're talking about the last several weeks. One of the ways God diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge is through our confession. And just to touch back on last week, we talked about Hebrews 10:23. In the New King James, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Now, I always quote the King James Version. It's a little bit different. But it says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." See, the New King James says the confession of our hope, which is actually more accurate. I just like the King James Version. Profession of our faith. Now, you say, well, one's hope and one's faith. Yeah, but the word hope there literally means the confident expectation of the promise of God, the promise of Yahweh. Confident expectation. See, in English language, hope usually means, well, you know, I'm hoping. I'm hoping somebody will drop off a new Cadillac for me. I'm hoping somebody's going to put a $1 million check in the mail to me. I'm just hoping it'll never come to pass. But, you know, I got my hopes out there. No, that's not the biblical kind of hope. The Bible hope is I have a confident expectation that God is going to come bring to pass what he has promised me. Now, that takes faith. So in that sense, they're both accurate. But I just like the profession of our faith. I like the word profession because we don't talk about that. Confession. Confession simply means, we've talked about this, confession simply means I am agreeing with God. If God, you know, they used to have a bumper sticker out, if God said it, I believe it and that settles it. Well, if God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, that's the law. This is what goes down. God said it. End of all debate. Whether I believe it or not is to my benefit. But it doesn't change who God is. So when I am confessing, I'm not just mouthing words. I'm not just saying, oh, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm not just repeating phrases vainly out of repetition of my mind. I'm not just trying to get my will stirred up. But a confession is, I am agreeing with God. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Of every infirmity, every weakness, every sickness, every disease. I am agreeing with God. And people will look at you and say, do you mean to say that you're God? I never said that. I'm just agreeing with him. Listen, when you got born again, you agreed with God that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. He ascended to heaven, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. You agreed with God. You confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart. There you have the mysteries of confession. Say with your mouth what you believe in your heart, and you shall have those things that you say. That you say. Now, last week we just mentioned this. I came across a Jewish, I don't know where it came from, but I understand that Jewish priests have a saying, words of the heart are not enough, they must be spoken out loud. Just to think something in your heart. You know, I use this term because this example, because it's a common one. People will think in their heart, you know, I'm wanting to go to church Sunday. I want to go to church Sunday. Until you speak it out, you'll probably not be in church Sunday. Because once you speak it out, you hear yourself, I'm going to be in church Sunday. You'll say, well, that's a minor thing. You know, but you can think in your heart all you want to that the Lord's my healer. When you say it, something changes. When you hear yourself saying it, there's something different. Let me use a husband-wife relationship. Every wife knows her husband loves her, right? right? Hopefully, but it's not always assured. You know, if the husband never tells his wife, the words of the heart don't matter, do they? See, your kids need to know you love them. Not just that you correct them. They need to know that you love them. Now, how do they know? Well, I thought that they ought to know. I've heard so many parents say, my kids ought to know that I love them. I mean, after all, I haven't killed them yet. But the kid, the child needs to hear each parent say, I love you. One of the things that children long for desperately, and all the studies have shown this, and just think about your own life, the thing that we really look forward to is to hear our mom and dad say, I am proud of you. I am proud of what you've become. Not to condemn them, not to judge them, just say, I'm proud of you. And so few children hear that. My dad, for example, we were talking to Debbie's parents one time, and I was complaining to him. I said, I've never heard Dad say he's proud. I've never heard Dad say, ever, that he was glad I went in the ministry. Dad never complimented anything that I had accomplished when I shared it with him. Never said anything at all. And I was telling Debbie's mom and dad, and they said, oh, Gordon, that's not true. He says, he tells people all the time how proud he is of you that you went in the ministry, how proud of you that you're going to pastor in a church, how proud he is. But he never told me. So it's good to have the report from others. It would have been nice if Dad would have said, I'm proud of you. I remember when we left the denomination and we started Living Faith, my mom came to me. Not my dad, my mom came to me. She says, I am so proud and glad of you that you left the church, left the denomination. Wow, man, that is something for my mom. She died in a wool in her denomination. Her dad was a minister. She married a minister. This has been her whole life. Her son's a minister. And she said, I am so glad you left the denomination. It's like, I thought, man, give me a gold star. I am just tickled pink. I am just thrilled that my mom was proud of me for standing up for what she knew was right, for taking a stand and not just going with the flow of what everybody else is doing. I've had ministers, now this all has a point. I've had ministers come to me and say, Gordon, I'm thinking about leaving the denomination and starting my own church like you. And I'll look at them and say, I've told several of this. I said, I don't think you'll hack it. I said, when you get out on your own and you have a denomination like we have, you have no backup. There's nobody that's going to come in if you have a church problem. Nobody's going to come in and take your side. Oh, they didn't do that in the denomination, did they? I went through that twice. They bailed. But you have no financial backup. If the church fails, you don't just go to the next assignment. I know pastors, know them, in denominational churches, their job is to go around and close churches. That's their job. And they're good at it. They can shut them down left and right, disperse the property, get other people, help them find their way someplace else. God didn't call us to shut churches down. He called us to plant churches. But there's whole ministries to shut churches down. And it's just amazing. So sometimes just going with the flow, you know, these ministers, I want to be like you. I want to be independent. I said, no, you don't. And they thought about it a little bit. It's like, you're right, I don't. You know, and there's many Christians, we think we want to do it our way. We think we want to do it the way that God directs us. We think, but we're actually just staying in the flow and the mainstream of what everybody else believes. And I tell you, when you get around like-minded people of precious faith, they all agree with you. And that's not a bad thing, but every now and then you need to get out of that and get into the real world and find out what's going on outside your little stream and find out it's not as nice out there. When Debbie and I go on vacation, we love to go to other churches. We love to see what's going on. We go to all kinds of denominations, independent, charismatic, Baptist. You know, we've been to a number of different denominational services when we are on vacation. We are so glad to come back to you. Because you love God. And not just in word. indeed. You live it. Other people are saying, I believe in God. Well, what do you believe? They don't have a clue. They really don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. And I would expect, because we're basically normal people, that there's some in here that you know what you believe, but you don't understand why. And you don't understand why it's crucial for me to know why I believe it. I believe it. That's good enough for me. Well, it might be good enough for you, but you've got to preach and have an answer to others who don't know what you know and don't accept what you have accepted. It's great that you accept it. It's great that you go along with it. I was thinking this morning about the girls, the small children that were up here waving the flags. When they grow up and someone says, and someone invites them to their church, and they say, we wave flags, the girls are going to say, oh, we grew up with that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's not typical. That's not normal. And you need to get outside of your comfort zone and find out what's really out there to find out why you believe what you believe. Because it'll reinforce, if you really believe it, it'll reinforce it. It'll stir up your faith. I am not giving up what I have to just float down the stream. My dad always had an expression, live fish always swim upstream. Any dead fish can float downstream. And there's too many dead Christians in Pentecostal churches, in charismatic churches, in denominational churches. There's too many dead Christians. They're just floating downstream because they have words of the heart. But once you begin to speak those words out, I believe in the Almighty God. I believe in Jesus Christ who saved me. I believe in Jesus that he was raised from the dead on the third day. I believe that he did ascend to heaven. I believe that God, Jesus Christ, lives in my heart today. I believe in the current operation of the Holy Ghost today. People are going to take notice about you. Go, oh, really, huh? Whoa, whoa. And some of them you'll watch back off from you because they get nervous around people that talk about their God. But that's what produces church growth, because there's a lot more people out there hunting for a real vital relationship with a living God. And if you don't know he's alive, you need to wake up. You need to get out of your slumber. You need to stir yourself up and find out he is a real God. Amen. That was kind of weak. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, go with me to Romans 10. This is almost going to be review for those that were in Sunday school. Debbie taught on this. But in Romans chapter 10, it's so important about the words that we speak. Because I know there's a lot of things that are against it, against the message of confession. But when you think about it, if my confession is just the fact that I agree with God, it's not about getting stuff, is it? It's not about just manipulating God. If confession is to agree with God, then by my confession, I am saying that God is right and his word is true. And God is faithful to what he said he would do. See, this is what confession is all about. If you just confess to get something, listen, the odds are you probably won't get it. And then you walk away and say what? This confession stuff's a bunch of bull. I don't believe in it at all because I tried it and it didn't work for me. No, you don't try faith. You live faith. Faith isn't something you put on to go to church on Sunday morning. Amen, hallelujah, brother. Faith is what you live every day of your life. You can't just come to church and praise God and use his name in vain all week long. Hello? You can't do that. You can't go around cursing the things that God blesses and expect to be blessed. You can't live like the world and receive the abundance of God. Come out from among them, the Bible says, and be separate. Well, it doesn't mean set up a commune someplace and live apart from everybody else, but it means you have got to live a separated life for God. And you cannot do that unless you know what you believe and why you believe it. Until you come into where I am going to agree with God no matter what. Until you come to that point, confession will just be a plaything for you. It's just going to be something that we do because, well, I heard if you confess, it'll work. No, my confession is I am agreeing with God. And when I come across the Word of God, something new that he has promised me, I'm just going to agree with him. Instead of asking, well, I just don't understand how that could be. I'm just going to agree with God. I just don't understand how God could heal me. I don't need to understand. I need to agree with God. How can God grow out a withered arm? I don't know, but Jesus did it. And Jesus said, the man who spoke in red letters, he said, if you believe in me, the same things I do, you will do also, and more, greater works shall you do than what I have done. Wow. Now that'll rock your religion right there. We haven't seen the same works too often, let alone the greater works, have we? Yeah. Kind of, oh me. It's like, I don't like that one. I'm talking about myself there. It's easy to mouth the words. It's a whole other thing to put them into practice and say, I will live and die by these words. So, find Romans 10, verse 6. The righteousness of faith. Now, righteousness is to be in one accord with. To be our righteousness of God is to, we're walking in one accord with God. It's to have no separation between us and God. It's to be in that right place with Him. So the righteousness of faith, if I'm walking in faith, speaks. You can just put a period there. The righteousness of faith speaks. It doesn't, it doesn't just think in its heart. It speaks. The right, if I'm in the right place in faith, my faith forces me, causes me, directs me to say what I believe. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If I'm always negative, what's in abundance in my heart? Yeah, but I'm thinking right thoughts. But what's in abundance in your heart? Listen to what you say. It scares me sometimes when I watch the news, because some of the time, Debbie's always telling me to be quiet, but sometimes the things that come out of my mouth, it's like, oh, Lord, I don't want that to really happen, but it came out. Hello. But it says the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. In other words, it doesn't say, who's going to help me? Where is God going to come from? But what does faith say? It says, faith declares the word of God is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, my faith is in me. My faith in me will produce what I say it will produce. It will bring to pass that which I agree with God on. We're going to back that up in a little bit. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart I'm believing to get in the right place with God. Now, I'm kind of jumping all around in this, but if my heart is in a right place with God, I will be in agreement with God, correct? Can you understand that? If I'm going to be in a right place with God, then I've got to be in agreement, because how can two walk together except they be agreed? So if I'm going to walk with God, I've got to agree with God. I'm not asking God to agree with me. I have got to be in agreement with God. And if I agree with God, God will agree with me, because the basis of our agreement is in Him. Understand? So if I'm in that right place with God and we agree, then I can speak, because I have that confidence, that assurance that what I say will come to pass. Now, how many of you want the last thing, or maybe the thing that the Lord brings up to you that you said that sticks in you, how many of you want that to come to pass? Are you in agreement with God? Well, I was up to that moment. I see, the words of the heart. But we haven't changed our heart to be in agreement with God. We're still hoping, we're still wishing. We're still working on it. Hallelujah. Don't quit working on it. But I tell you, if you start thinking that everything you say will come to pass, you'll be a lot more diligent to watch over the words you speak. Amen. I don't want that to happen. I wish somebody would just, no. Have you ever been behind? Bugs me with slow traffic. By slow traffic, I mean people are driving 10 to 15 miles below the speed limit. That happens on the interstate. It happens coming into Kaiser almost every single day. And I just want to say, speed up! Can you imagine if God would take my words and he'd get an angel behind that car and just boom? Now, I'm only intending, well, actually my intention is get them out of my way. That's what I'm not talking about getting up to the speed limit. I would be happy with that. But sometimes I'm in a rush to get to church and I want to go a little over the speed limit. So I'm really saying, or would mean by my intention would be in what I said, get them out of the way. Now, if I would just loose that, I'm opening up the realm of possibility for anything to move them out of the way. For them to run off the road, crash into a tree, run headlong into the lane beside me. So, well, Gordon, that's just kind of stupid. You're asking God. Let me give you an example. At one time, we had two cars years ago. And I got frustrated. We only drove the one car. We drove the other car very slightly, only occasionally. But we were paying insurance on it like you have to. And the insurance wasn't that much, but it just started bugging me that I didn't like paying insurance for a car that I really didn't drive that much. And I for months, what came out of my mouth is, we only need one car. We only need one car. We only need one car. The words never came out of our mouth, Lord, should we sell this car? The words were, we only need one car. We're driving down the highway one day in Cumberland, and we're driving our good car. And all of a sudden, it was rainy. All of a sudden, this girl started doing spins in front of us. I was close enough to her. I wasn't on her tail, but I was close enough to her. I had no time to go to the left or the right. And we hit the car. Her car was one of these cheap little cars. It took about $3,000, $4,000 to replace her car. Totaled ours because it bent the frame. Hers was so cheap it didn't have a frame. They just put part on here, part on there. Hey, go home and drive. You know, you're okay. Our car, you bent the frame, it is totaled. Now we're stuck with one car. But it wasn't the car I wanted. I'm stuck with the car I wanted to get rid of. And I asked God, I said, Lord, I believe you always warn us before a tragedy. I believe that there's an inner witness, and I didn't get any. Why? Do you believe that? I said, why? It took God about 4 months to get through to me, and one day coming home from the church, I jumped up on the steps in the back, and it just like revelation just hit me, just one of those bursting moments, and it just hit me. I couldn't warn you because the confession of your mouth also bound my angels from warning you. See, if I would have had a 3-second warning, I could have got over to the left or the right. I could have got around that girl without any trouble at all. But he said, you said you only wanted one car. I bound the angels of God that I pray were to protect me. I restricted their operation to warn me because of the words of my mouth, and I lost a car, but I got the words of my mouth. We only had one car. Now, it took us 3 to 4 years to dig our way out of that hole that I had confessed us into. 3 or 4 years of scrimping and saving. If the other car had been lost, it would have been no big deal. But it was a good car. There was a reason we didn't drive the second car. Do you understand what I'm saying? There was a reason we didn't drive it that much. But we were stuck with it. We finally had to go down and had to get a K car. Anybody remember K cars? Kick them down the road is what it was a K car. It's just, you have to, I mean, this thing had, the chipmunks were old. They were tired. And when we started going uphill, those chipmunks just gave out. I mean, every time, you know, I'd see a hill coming up, I'd pedal the metal, man, I've got this car as fast as it'll go. We were up to 75 miles an hour. I mean, we were humming down the highway. I mean, pedal the metal, we're going up that hill. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I'd watch that speedometer go down and down and down. This guy that I just passed doing 55 zooms past me, vroom, 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 go, 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 go. And it's like, but I got what I spoke. We only had one car. And it took us years to get out of that situation. Now let's keep on reading here. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If I agree with God, my mouth is going to confess what God has promised me, not my complaints. Hello. Most Christians, you do get what you confess. Well, I don't believe in confession. It's working for you. I don't believe that God heals people today. It's working for you. I just don't see how God's going to meet my needs. It's working for you. You're cursing yourself by the words of your mouth. We're speaking against the things of God. Well, I just don't understand how. I don't either, but God is able to do all things. Amen. He always leads us in triumph. How many times? Always. Occasionally? No. Always leads us in triumph. See, until you understand that and get that rooted on the inside of you, you're a good person. You love God, but you're not in agreement with Him. Not on that issue. And see, all of us deal with that, don't we? All of us. It's like, but Lord, I don't want to be that way. I know you don't want to be that way. That's why you're here. You don't want to be that way, but yet we get trapped by the words of our mouth because we're just a dead fish floating down the stream. Because it takes energy to swim upstream. It takes a faith, a confidence, an endurance, and it takes support of other people to dare to swim upstream. Why do you think so many fish swim in schools? It's not because they're trying to learn new things. They just know if you group together, you got a better chance of survival. Jesus said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. There's a reason. We're in troubled times. The world is going the way that the Bible predicted. But we don't have to go the way of the world. But you've got to pull yourself up and you've got to determine, I am going to do the right thing all the time, regardless of the cost. And I'm not saying there won't be cost. I've said this for years. Christianity, to be a Christian, is the easiest thing in the world to do. All you have to do is die. Dying is the hard part. Letting go of my pet things, letting go of my favorite sin, oh, that's hard. But when you're dead, you're dead. When you're dead, you're free of it. When you're dead, there's no longer a temptation. When you're dead, those things, the way you used to think, they don't even enter your mind anymore. Or if they do, you go, tooey, tooey, doo, doo, doo. You just want to get that out of your mouth. You don't even want to go there because that part of you is dead. How many of you can say that who you were before you were born again, you have to really work to remember who that person was? That ought to be how it is. But sometimes we need to remember who we used to be so you don't go back there, so you don't return. You know, the Bible says a dog always returns to its vomit. And if you don't stay with God, you'll go back to the way you used to be. That's why it's so crucial to stay with God and not just play with God. Hello. Okay, we're still in Romans 10. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't say God is poor? You know, when we come to God and ask him for something, can you see God going, where am I going to get this from? These people are desperate. I don't know where I'm going to get this from. Angels, do you know where we can get this? We got to get this stuff quick. We don't know what to do for this person. And the angel, well, God, you're God. You're supposed to have the answer. I don't know what to do about this. But that's how we pray. We pray like God doesn't know where to get it. We pray like it's outside of God's ability to do these things. I'm going to pick on Roxanne, use her for an example. In 2 hours' time, she went from having a deadly cancer, went down the hallway, that was tests that they reviewed, went down the hallway, took more tests, went into the next doctor, and all the time she's just, I'm healed. God always leads me in victory. God always leads me in triumph. God always leads me. And 2 hours later, she walks into the next doctor's office. They do redo some of the tests, and they come out and tell her, "You have no cancer." 2 hours. How did God do it? If you try to answer that question, you'll never get the healing. Hello? If you're always asking how, you're not looking to God as your source because you're trying to figure out how he's going to do it. Let me ask you a question. Does it help your faith to know how God's going to do it? Knowing how God's going to do something has absolutely nothing to do with faith. But faith has everything to do with trusting God, even when you don't have a clue what's going to happen in the next 2 hours. It's just trusting God. See, God is able to do these things. We all agree with that. We all agree that God's able to stop this microphone from scratching, that God is able to do anything he wants to do. We just don't know if he really wants to do it. And I want you to know he wants to do it. But his first objective is to get us into agreement with him. That's why he's working so hard to do. Renew your mind. Why do you need to renew your mind? Because you think wrong. Hello? Who do you think you are to tell me I think wrong? Well, I figure you're probably a lot like me, and I find out I have a lot of wrong thinking yet, and I've got a lot of areas where I've got to renew my mind. So I just figure, you're human like me. So I don't know your whole life. I don't know everything, but I can take a good bet that there's areas you need to renew your mind in. So all the heads nodding, so I take that as an amen. That's not one of those things. Amen, brother. No, not me, Lord, not me. Let's keep reading. I'm still in Romans 10. I'm going to just finish with this scripture, and we'll go through. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Isn't that amazing? Between the people of God and those who don't know God. There's no difference. Faith operates the same way if you've been a Christian for 20 years or whether you are just coming into the faith. It works the same way. There is no difference. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are you going to believe God if you don't know anything about him? See, this is why Oral Roberts got into such trouble 50 years ago when he said, God has something good for you today. And they accused him of blasphemy. Now today we look at that, that is so dumb. But listen, God has got something good for you today to heal you of every weakness and heal you of every infirmity. Well, who do you think you are? See, as long as we know, we can confess God's got something good for you. And everybody goes, yay. God's got something good for you to fix your situation. Well, brother, that's just going a little bit overboard. It's the same God, isn't it? Isn't it just another way of saying that we serve a good God? It's just the same thing. You can insert good, healing, deliverance, freedom, liberty. Insert any word you want to. It's the same God. And yet we argue with him. We all agree God is a good God. But when the hard things come is God good enough to help me in my present situation? Oh, I told you I was going to stop. Go to Hebrews. I got to jump over here. Hebrews chapter 4. We're not done in Romans yet. Hebrews 4:16. Let's start in 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, we're real bold When we come before God, if you don't need anything, boy, I can just walk right into His presence. I can get anything I want to from God. But when you're sick, when you're dealing with something, when you've got a bad report, when you got issues going on in your mental life, when you got issues going on in your family, do you have the confidence? Are you in enough agreement with God to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive, to obtain the mercy and the grace that you need at that moment? See, we're talking about being in agreement with God, aren't we? This is what we're talking about. It's more than just confession. It's about being in a place of agreement. I'm going to agree with God that He has the ability to help me in my time of need. I'm going to trust God that He can do this. I don't know how. I don't know how, where. I don't know when. I'm not trying to figure all that out. My job is to believe on Jesus Christ. My work is to put my confidence in Him. And if my confidence is in Him, I will say what the Lord has said because I'm walking in agreement. If I'm walking in agreement with Debbie and we're in agreement to buy a new car, I can go out and tell people, Debbie and I have agreed to buy a new car. And we've got the finances for it. I'll just throw that in. We just agreed to buy a new car. But if you agree with God that I'm healed, well, how can you do that? Because God and I are walking together. See, the only way I can say that Debbie and I are in agreement is if we're in agreement. Otherwise, she'll come up to me and say, you told who we're getting a new car? What are you thinking about? Are you nuts? Are you insane going around telling people we're going to get a new car? Are you going to talk to me about this? Have you even thought about what kind of a car you're going to get? It goes on and on. But if we're in agreement, we're in agreement. See, when you're in agreement with God, other people may say, well, who do you think you are? I'm just in agreement with God. God said He loves me. God is a good God. God said, come boldly to His throne, and I will obtain mercy and help in the time of my desperation, in the time of my need. When I don't know where else to turn, I can turn to God because He is a present help in time of trouble. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's keep looking. Back in Romans 10, verse 15. How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, hallelujah, who bring tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Oh, not everybody has agreed with this. Not everybody is in line with this. He goes on, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? How do you think Joshua and Caleb felt? Lord, who has believed our report? God has promised, I think it was Caleb who said, God told us He's given us the land. Let's go in and take it. And the 10 spies said, no, there's giants in the land. Clue, there's always giants. A giant is anything you think is bigger than God's ability to give you what He promised you. We're called to be giant slayers. Like David. Goliath was so big. David was so small. Goliath had a servant with him to carry his spear and shield. I mean, how'd you like to be about 8 foot and carry a big old spear and a big old shield with you all day? I'm going to get me a lackey to do it for me. And I don't mean that in disrespect. I mean, a shield bearer is a very, very vital, crucial person to a warrior. But he's got to keep himself fit to fight and not just get tired out from carrying everything. So the servant gave Goliath his shield, gave him his spear, had his sword on his side. He said, I'm going to kill you in the army of God. David said, who are you to defy God? This wasn't even personal. It wasn't about David at all. You dare to come out and defy God? You dare to do that? I'm going to take you down. With just a slingshot. No armor. No shield. No sword. So he killed Goliath with a slingshot. And then the servant bearer had to run or else David killed him, one or the other. But David took Goliath's own weapon and cut his head off. He didn't have the ability. He didn't have the weapon to take his head off. So he used his. God knows how to get resources to you if you'll believe. Amen. Is this good yet? 17, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want to grow in faith? Get in the word. You want to grow in faith? Listen to God. If you want to grow in faith, let the Holy Spirit show you things and reveal things to you. This is how you increase your faith. You don't increase it simply by confession. You increase it by paying attention to God. Amen? That's how you increase your faith. Pay attention to God. Listen to Him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Pay attention to God. See, whatever your problem is right now, whatever situation you're going through, God already has the answer. He's got it all lined up for you. He's got everything prepared if you will only hear. Hear and obey, and God has His answer for you. So, ooh, goody, goody, goody. I saw a cartoon the other day about Hagar the Horrible. I love Hagar the Horrible. I think he's such a sweetheart. And he said, I'm going to start a diet today. Oh, I feel better already. Wonder how much weight I've lost so far. See, that's kind of how our faith is. I'm going to walk by faith. Hallelujah. I don't have it yet. We want the immediate manifestation. God wants you to get in agreement with Him. See, we're after the manifestation. God's looking for agreement. Will anyone agree with me? Will anyone agree? When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith in the earth? This is the question that Jesus asked. Will I find faith? And we're here to declare, yes, He will find faith. Stand up. Glory to God. You get something out of this? I want to step on your toes and buy you new shoes. God is good. Amen. He is our answer. He is our supply. He is everything you need. He is able and willing to meet your situation. Heavenly Father, we come before You. Lord, we thank You that You are our God. We thank You, Father, that Jesus, Your Son, died in our place, that He bore all of our sicknesses, that He bore all of our burdens, that He took everything that we struggle with on Himself, that He is now our high priest who daily, regularly, consistently makes intercession for us before the throne of God. And we thank You, Father, that Jesus said, if we believe in You and we ask anything in Jesus' name, that He will do it for us. So, Father, we've put our petition. Lord, everyone in here already has petitions. We've already put it before You. But, Lord, we are setting ourselves in agreement today that we have what we've asked for. We have healing. We have health. We have a good marriage. We have control over our emotions. We have the right strength to do and enable us to accomplish what You have called us to do. Lord, we thank You for these things. We thank You, God, that we have the mind of Christ. We thank You, God, that we hear the voice of the Spirit. We thank You, God, we walk upright before You. Lord, that we come boldly before Your throne. And God, You give us mercy. And You give us grace and power in the time of our need. God, that You've caused us to ride over the enemy, not be subject to him. And Lord, we give You praise, we give You honor that we are the head in Christ and we are not the tail. We praise You, Father, for who we are in Christ, in You, Father. And we give You praise for this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Supplier, our Financier, our help in time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Woo! Glory to God. God bless you.